This is Maria Buyukos.
And this is Zachary Richard Hill.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Creative Honey. It's Maria and Zach here. And today we're going to be interviewing a super talented icon designer, and his name is Kyle Adams.
Yeah, Kyle and I met through social media a little while ago, and I've been always really impressed with his icon work and the way he approaches iconography in general. So in today's episode, we talk about, what iconography and icon design is all about, where it has been, where it's going, and just some of the intricacies and the processes that go with icon making. So stay tuned.
Everyone, and welcome back to Creative Honey. It's Maria and Zach here, and today we have a special guest. His name is Kyle Adams, and he's an awesome icon designer.
Hey, Kyle.
Hello.
Thanks for being on our show.
Thanks for coming on. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we've been kind of corresponding a little bit on social media in regards to kind of the business of design and some other things, and I've always been very impressed with your work and how you kind of approach iconography, because I think sometimes that's kind of an overlooked aspect of design. I think it's kind of taken for granted. But we'll get into that later. What we usually like to do is jump into the origin story of all of our guests and kind of find out a little bit more about you and your background and how you ended up where you are today. So, Kyle, go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience and let us know a little bit about your backstory.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, I'm Kyle Adams. I'm an icon designer. There's so much I could go into here. I was one of those that I started really, as far as design work in general went, I started really practicing my skills when I was in high school. Like, I was the really nerdy kid that always went home and just worked on things. And back then it was like, honestly, it was like these, what do I even want to call it? Like CGI type work, kind of like, the Pixar type, creating 3D models type stuff. And what really got me into, the two-dimensional design, much of what I'm doing now, was actually editing those final renders. So I would typically render still images and then move those into Photoshop and edit them. And I kind of started getting fascinated with this idea of creating, right? And honestly, Photoshop in general, like, I was just completely unaware of it back then. And fast forward many years later, I was in college, and I got to this point where I thought, like, what do I actually want to do in this industry? Like, I like many things, but what is it that I actually want to accomplish? Like, what is the thing that I want to focus on? And I came across the world of UI design. Like, it just kind of fell in my lap. Like, I was really into technology, and for some reason, I just never made the connection that there's designers making these, apps and icons and things. And so I got super interested in that. And I sort of went all in with learning it. Like, that's just kind of my personality. Like, I will immerse myself in something until I'm sick of it to learn it. And I don't know. It was just like, that was the path I wanted to take. And me personally, college just, because I'd had the experience and because my path was kind of this different thing than what I was there for, I just decided, like, this isn't the path for me. And decided to leave college, start my own business at that time. And honestly, it was a train wreck. Like, I'll just be completely honest. It was bad. I'm someone who personally, I don't want to go into debt. I never have been in debt. And that's just something that's,
dude, I'm totally with you there. Yeah.
Yeah. So because I have that core, I got down to like $200 in my bank account and I'm living in this apartment, and you can imagine my kind of like fear and anxiety at the time, because I there weren't any other options in my mind. There weren't options to go get money somewhere. And so I had to kind of give up on that business and move on. And I was sort of doing all these different things, right? There wasn't any sort of focus whatsoever on any specific topic. And that sort of ran me into the ground. So I went to go work for this, a corporate job here in San Antonio. And I was doing UI design work. Like, I mean, to be honest, it was kind of funny because I didn't really have a UI portfolio. Like, the things I had worked on were mostly advertisements and all these different things, but there wasn't much of a actual UI portfolio. And so I kind of worked and created a bunch of products and scraped some things together and got some client projects that I'd had for icons at the time. And that's sort of how I sold myself to the new job. You know, it's like,
cool.
I never told them I had a lot of experience. I just showed what I had, you know? And so it wasn't anything misleading, but it was just kind of like, I made a bunch of stuff to show them examples of what I could do and got into the job. So I was there, and it was weird because I hated corporate life. Like, I'm just being honest. I hated it completely. I liked the people a lot. I made a lot of friends there, but the routine was terrible. It was like, there's sometimes no work and there sometimes is work, and it just wasn't fulfilling for me at all. And I was doing this, like, I don't know, like for the company, I was doing innovation type work. Like, I was creating new things for this big company, and most people would probably see that as really cool, but my designs never went anywhere. They didn't go beyond the walls because it was sort of under this non-disclosure. So I couldn't even put those in my portfolio.
Yeah, that got frustrating.
Yeah, it's super frustrating. So while I was at that job, a lot of people started joking with me because a lot of my coworkers, at the time, I was one of only two UI designers in that department. And they would joke with me because every time they had a project that involved an icon, I was all over it. You know, like, I wanted to make the icons. And they would joke with me like, oh, well, I think you like the icons more than you like the UI design stuff, which was true. I mean, it ended up being true. I don't know. I kind of got in this bad place where I just wanted to be out of there and wanted to do my own thing. And, eventually decided to focus on icons specifically. Like, just, it was kind of weird because it's like, not a lot of people are doing this. There are others doing it. But it's not a big niche right now. But that's kind of what I saw. Like you mentioned at the beginning, there aren't a lot of people doing this. Like, it's kind of a overlooked piece of design that technically is huge. Like, it's in everything we use every day. And that's sort of what led me into focusing on icons, because I wanted to bring those front and center for people.
Yeah. That's really, I mean, your story is really cool, and I love the honesty. And I think a lot of people can really feel your struggle, and a lot of people are going through very similar things. It is definitely hardly ever an easy road to becoming a successful designer. And
especially an independent one, yeah.
Absolutely. I've had my own first business design failure, too, so I totally relate to that. And it's really cool to see how it kind of you naturally evolved into becoming an icon designer, and how you just kind of you were somewhere that you didn't particularly like to be, but then you found a little spark there, and how that kind of took you on this really awesome path where you're one of the few people doing this today. And what is it that you love most about designing icons?
Oh, man. I get asked this a lot, and I love the answer because it took me a while to kind of search that out, right? Because this is an awesome question. Sorry, I get excited about this question.
That's awesome. That's why we have you on. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So for a long time, I thought, kind of when I was going down that path of trying to figure out where do I want to plant my flag, so to speak, like what is the thing I want to actually go for? One of the things that crossed my mind was illustration. Like I was always really, really like fascinated with illustration, specifically digital illustration. And naively, I kind of thought like, well, you have to be super good at drawing for that. You know,
that's what I used to think too. Yeah.
Yeah. And in some cases you do. I mean, it depends on the style you're going for, but style kind of comes from the process anyway. So, you don't necessarily have to draw. And I can sketch decently. Like I sketch concepts for clients and things, and it's just nothing I would like put front and center as a final piece or anything. I'm just not that great at it. So I thought that, and I kind of erased it from my mind. I thought, well, okay, I'm not going to do illustration. That's just not my thing. And honestly, I'm a little bit more analytical.
Mm-hmm.
So my mind doesn't, I like to be creative, but I also really like the idea of constraint and the idea of purposeful design with really intentional direction. And so that's where the intersection came for me, because icons lead people in a direction. Like if you, I don't know, tap on a phone icon on your phone, that's kind of repetitive, but if you tap on the phone icon on your phone, you're going to get a phone. Like it's calling you to some form of action. If you hit the red phone button, it's going to hang up. So I liked this idea of actually leading people in a direction and having this intentional purpose behind what I was doing, but also being able to use that illustrative side. And it's actually like these little almost miniature illustrations of certain things that you have to figure out how to communicate.
No, yeah, I think it's a really good point, and I think we'll probably get into this a little bit later, how it's one of the earliest and most purest forms of communication, which is, you know, symbology and iconography, and basically the digital icons we see in a lot of our UIs and devices is just kind of modern forms of, you know, what we've seen, in the past and throughout ancient history. Do you see a kind of connection between, you know, modern day icon making and some of the iconography that we can observe through previous eras and moments in history?
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, potentially back in, let's say, like cave drawings, for example, they were there to tell a story, but they were also there to communicate in ways. And maybe, I don't know, like it's all kind of speculative. Like maybe the people didn't actually know how to communicate and they had to draw, or maybe they were just there like we use paintings or pictures today. But regardless, they told a story. And the interesting thing about icons is that they cross cultural boundaries. So,
right.
For example, you go to an airport, and if you see the little airplane, you know there's like probably a flight terminal. If you see the little briefcase, you can be pretty sure that's going to be luggage. Or I guess it's a little like suitcase, not a briefcase. But, you know, for the luggage terminal, I don't know, restrooms are typically universal and those kind of things.
Right.
So, yeah, like it's sort of this at the basic primitive level of communication. It's showing somebody something that they would associate with something else. And it's not necessarily a word that you have to learn in every language.
That's a great point. And the allusion to history is so perfect there, because we have found old remains of very pretty much like at the very genesis of human formation, there was little symbols, and that was before what we know as verbal like having a language and oral tradition, all that stuff. So it's so cool to see that then and how it serves of almost identical purpose now and how it can cross all those barriers.
Well, it's almost like math and iconography are the two really true universal languages in a way. You know, so I think you're tapping into something that is, I think it's going to stand the test of time and is, you know, but still largely going overlooked, which kind of leads me to another question. Have you ever come across experiences where you've worked with a client and they are initially underestimating the role their icon usage will play in their final project?
Yeah, I mean, I think in many ways... Even mentioning stuff like this, the fact that, you know, if you're a, let's say you're making an app, for example, and it's going to be available in multiple countries, pointing out the fact that many icons will translate over those multiple countries, and it sort of circumvents, it doesn't circumvent all of the work by any means, and there's definitely a constraint to it. You shouldn't use just all icons, but certain key features you could highlight with icons so that each of those cultures can view it in a similar way, and potentially not even have to translate those things or worry about miscommunication. A great example I like to point out is Twitter. You know, the Twitter app has this little, whatever it is, like the compose icon at the top. And it doesn't say compose. It just has the little pin with a piece of paper, and you tap on that and you start a new tweet. So that's pretty, like, you know, cross-cultural. You're going to write something, so they don't necessarily need to say compose all the time.
That is a really, really great example, and things like Twitter have done so well internationally, and kind of leads me to another point. So when you're working with companies, would you say that good iconography could save a company a lot of money or give them a bigger client base?
Or lack thereof and end up losing their money. Have you had a situation like that where bad iconography has hurt a company?
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, there's several factors. Like, one could be that your interface is very confusing, because it looks like you have a bunch of different icons and they don't always match, and it seems like that should mean something different to people. So there's the potential of confusion. There's also the potential of miscommunicating or lacking any communication of what your brand's about. So, for example, let's say you're a kids clothing brand, right? And you have an app and you want people to be able to purchase the clothing on the app. Well, probably your icons are going to be very soft, rounded, friendly, fun, right? And if a company has chosen these like really hard-edged icons that say the things they want them to but don't necessarily fit with the brand message, then there's some disconnect there of like, well, this just feels kind of, this doesn't necessarily feel tailored to their brand. Maybe they even had a template or something. You know, it's just kind of like,
right,
I don't know about this. And then there's, I think, a third one, honestly. And the third one would be that, sorry, I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. Basically, like, what are you communicating through the icon? So I've seen many cases where there's a website or an app or something where they've used an icon that maybe you can't tell what it is, number one, or maybe it's like, I don't know, like a car and it means find your location.
Oh yeah.
Which makes no sense, right? Like they've just picked some icon. They've probably bought a pack somewhere that didn't have that icon they needed. So they just chose something thinking, oh, it's fine. Like it kind of relates. We can make it relate. But to most people, that doesn't communicate that message whatsoever.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, it's interesting that you mentioned packs in there, because I know there's always like two sides to everything. There's positives and negatives. But do you feel that like ready-made icon packs are hurting the field of icon design or that section or sector of design with misuse and all of that?
That's kind of a tough question, because in some ways, to be honest, I see the the pricing of those packs hurting more than anything. Because, I mean, let's just be realistic here. If you're selling 1,000 icons for $5, it definitely took you way longer than $5 to make all those. You know, I mean, you're evaluating them at less than a penny per icon, which is really sad. So that part I do think is having a negative impact. But as far as icon sets, like I even have some icon sets available on my site. And really they're there for the people that maybe they're not at the point where they can invest into a custom icon set that achieves their goals. And maybe they need something that's pre-made that will get them along for the short term and return to me and get custom icons later down the road once they've reached a certain point in their business where that's viable.
No, yeah, that I think that's a really good point. It kind of just depends on, there's positives and negatives to any kind of like pre-bought or pre-made design. I think you bring up a good point. A lot of it has to do with the stage of where a company is at, if it's a startup or a small company versus a bigger brand or a more established business. So yeah, no, I definitely agree with you there. I think that's a good point. To pivot a little bit, I know you recently started a series of YouTube videos kind of breaking down maybe some ways to, you know, construct and build icon, certain kinds of icons, which I think we have a lot of, you know, younger designers and kind of recent graduates listening to the show. So can you tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel and what you're trying to accomplish with that?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought this up, actually, because earlier when we were talking about the cultural boundaries thing, this is one of my efforts to kind of work in that direction. YouTube.com/KyleAdamsDesign is where you can find those. And they're these, I think, man, I don't remember. I think I have 20 of them up now. I'm putting them out daily.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. But it's really like, I'm all about as much as possible. I mean, there's certain situations where you can't, and that's just how it is. But as much as possible, I try to make teaching content that's universal and can last longer than you have, I don't know, Adobe Illustrator CC, for example. Maybe 5 years down the road, it's something different and we don't have the same version and things are different. Like at the core, as long as you can continue making shapes, these videos apply forever. So there's really not like a software specific thing to them. So they're applicable in many places and there's no words to them. It's all background music and me showing how to make the icon in these steps. So you don't have to know a specific language because there is no language being spoken. And you don't have to own a particular piece of software because there is no software specific things being shown.
You are truly approaching your YouTube videos like a real icon designer.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, you know, and I've watched a few and I used to think that I can handle myself in Illustrator fairly well, but even I've had my mind blown a few times. Like, oh man, why didn't I approach making this thing that way? So it's like I've definitely learned a lot watching a few of your videos, and I think they're super cool and they're really great.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. Definitely. And it actually kind of makes me think of another question. Kind of how we're talking about approaching building icon design. What mistakes do you often see when maybe younger designers or more inexperienced designers try to build a set of icons? What are some issues that you think young designers face when they're trying to build some stuff like this?
Oh man, that's a great one, because over the past couple of years since I started really focusing on icon design specifically, I have a newsletter that when you sign up for the newsletter list, you are asked a question, which is, what are you struggling with when it comes to icon design? So from that, of course, I've had many responses, very diverse responses. Some of them related to more of the, I guess you'd say, business side of learning how to run a successful design business, and some of them on the side of how do I create app icons or how do I create icon sets. And from that, the overwhelming majority have asked about icon sets. And so I started, I'm working on a course right now, learnicondesign.com. That's also where the newsletter sign up is. But yeah, that course, the biggest struggle I see on a consistent basis is people really, really struggling with the concept of making the set cohesive, because it's a little overwhelming, right? You have maybe, even if it's a set of 30 icons, for example, there's just all of these images to keep track of, to number one, concept what the subject matter should be. Number two, to concept what exactly the like the weights of everything should be. So, and then you run into issues where maybe a particular line weight or whatever it is doesn't work on a certain icon, and that gets really frustrating. So if you look really close, you'll see a lot of these, like, especially the really low ends, low priced icon sets, or the free icon sets especially, you'll see a lot of this like mismatch of icons. And some of them look like they might belong to a different set, or they look like they might be just way disproportionate. And so that's the, like, that's a long way of coming to the biggest struggle I see is being cohesive with the set.
Definitely. And I think that's really important in design in general, especially, yeah, when you're starting out. I know it's kind of a lot harder for young designers to have that, develop that cohesiveness, but it really strengthens the design.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. I think, you know, with every design process, there should be a little bit, obviously, or a lot of bit of pre-planning and kind of, you know, knowing the game plan a little bit before you approach a project. Do you, and would you say that's no different for icon design, right? You should go in with a kind of an understanding of how you're going to approach the set, right?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me, and I always kind of joke that people who follow my blog are probably really sick of hearing about goals, but it's so true, because icons actually, you know, they're something you use, like you click on them or you touch them, and like they're an actual thing that somebody's going to use. And there's a lot of planning that needs to go in place. And there's a lot of understanding goals of like, what's the client trying to achieve. And that could be, the client could be referring to a company you work for or yourself, even just like, what are the goals of the thing you're working on? And why do they need to exist? And where do you want to push people? So yeah, there's like a lot of pre-planning with that. And then also coming up with, based on that, coming up with the correct subject matter for all of these icons and what should represent each thing. And, you know, it's kind of funny because we have different associations with certain icons. Like, for example, a location pin, like Google kind of has like, maybe two different kinds of location pin icons, and Apple has a location icon that's different than that. And there's just like all these different ways to say location. So, you know, the way you come up with either a unique icon that fits, or you choose one of the many that speaks to that already, is by understanding the goals and understanding the direction you need to push things.
So it's not always about being fiercely creative to make things different. Sometimes it's the functionality is the most important. So if you're just making a slightly different iteration of something that's already successful, that's just okay too.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely always room for creativity and changing things up. And especially when you're talking about a really custom icon set for a specific brand, you can definitely push boundaries a bit and do some things that are different. But you know, there are certain icons that we already associate with things, and in many instances, there's no need to change what that shape is, right? like an email, for example, it's an envelope, and you can render an envelope in many different ways. It doesn't have to just be a single kind of envelope, but to suddenly say like this computer chip symbol means email, like people aren't going to understand that or connect with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is kind of like this limit to the creative boundaries a little bit, but that's honestly, that's sort of what I like about that, because that's when you actually get more creative, because icons are literally in a box. Like every icon is within a square. That's how every single icon is made. And so you've got to figure out, like, how do I make this icon? How do I make it in a square? And how do I make it in a way that communicates the right message? So if anything, the constraints bring more creativity, because you're stuck in this, I have to push past these constraints a little bit, but I can't go too far past. So what can I do to make this work?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, if we look back at, you know, design over time in any, pretty much any field, the most amazing creations come out of extreme constraints sometimes. And now that we're living in a world where good design is everywhere, you know, it's more accessible than ever. Sometimes it feels hard, like you're hitting a wall, like, well, what else can I make that's unique? But you brought up a great point that it leaves room for like pushing yourself to be more creative than ever, really.
Yeah, sometimes restraint basically is a great form of creativity, or a great path to creativity. Yeah, for sure. So I'd like to pivot again a little bit, Kyle. And maybe this will be another tough question, or maybe not. But what can you give us an example of one of your most successful projects, or an example where a set of icons you made really created some really ROI or real value for one of your clients?
Yeah, man. Let me think about this. Really, that's my goal in general, is to give a good return on investment, you know? And so I've had maybe one that just, it wasn't for lack of it being a good solution. It just wasn't implemented at all. And that one kind of came out bad, but otherwise, like the rest of the things I've worked on have really had a good impact on the clients I've worked with. And it varies a lot. Like, you know, there's some people that I've worked with that are just starting a business, you know, and they have, they want to put emphasis there, and they have that focus, and they want custom icons. Maybe they're even a startup creating an app or something. And then there's other clients I've worked with that are, you know, doing really well, and it's helped them to connect with their audience more and to appeal to things that they're interested in. So, I don't know. It's kind of been a range of people I've worked with. So, I don't know. Like it's always hard for me to pull out one specific project that just was more amazing than the others.
I could see why it would be hard. You know, you work on so many awesome projects, you know, it's kind of going through the catalog in your head.
Right.
Of all of those types of clients you've worked with, are there a few that like you really particularly enjoy working with? Like you have like a little soft spot for certain types of clients you work with on icon design?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, honestly, the way I'm very particular about the way I bring in clients, and that sounds a little bit odd, but I'm really selective about projects I work on, because I want to be able to focus on those clients specifically and understand their needs and connect with what they're trying to do, so that we can make a final product that really speaks to what they need. So a lot of the clients I've worked with, I wouldn't say there's any that I had just worked with and regretted, like, or wouldn't be excited to work with again, because there's a whole upfront process where we have this really in-depth conversation about what's your business look like, and what are you working on, and what are you doing. And it gets to this point where I'm really invested in their business. Like I kind of take on their persona a bit and use my skill set to achieve the things they're wanting to achieve. So it would be really hard for me to say there's anybody I just particularly want to work with again, because I've enjoyed the people I've worked with.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a really good attitude to have, though.
Yeah, I really like that. It's really awesome you've been able to work with, all kinds of clients, to definitely respect what you do in the process. Another question I have is, how have you seen the role of iconography change in the digital world since you've been doing it? Or have you even seen anything like that? Or how does the role of iconography change in the way you handle it or in the UI UX world in general?
Yeah, I've seen a lot more emphasis on icons. And you know, some of that, like, I try to sort through it because some of it may be that I'm immersed in it more, you know? But I think a lot of it, I mean, I've seen certain design conferences I go to on a regular basis, somebody will have an icon workshop or something. And it's coming a little bit more to the forefront. And I even had an icon workshop. It was a conference called CROP in Louisiana this past, I believe it was in April. I'm trying to remember. But this was the first year for them. And I was one of the workshop. I was giving a workshop there. And there were like, man, I think somewhere around 100 to 150 people at that workshop, like just really interested. It was a little bit, honestly, it was a little bit too much. Like, it's really hard to teach that many people at one time.
Yeah. But
just seeing that many people at least interested in that subject, they didn't have to be there. And they really seemed to get very interested in this process. I think my efforts have been very successful, along with others in my niche that are also talking about icons. It's been really successful in kind of highlighting the fact that there's more to them than necessarily meets the eye. I've even had some people on my newsletter list that aren't designing icons at all, and they're not UI designers. They were just interested in the topic and what I had to share. And they've written into me and said, I had no idea there was this much involved with icons. I mean, I'm almost 100 blog posts in just talking about icons. So there's just this whole world there. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that and the psychology behind icons as well. Like we mentioned that they speak to people and they communicate things. And there's, you know, certain icons we've associated with bad things and some we've associated with good things. And there's just a lot to it. It's a very in-depth topic.
Absolutely. You can really dive in with that. And it seems like the key to good design in general is kind of having that that psychology mindset and really trying to understand people and their behaviors, but especially with icon design, because you're saying so much in one symbol. And we were just talking about the evolution of icons, you know, today. Do you see anything that makes you happy about where icons are going, and then some other things that kind of bug you about where you're seeing icons going?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy that I'm seeing more people at least explore icon design and try to make that something they work on. Like, it's becoming more recognized, I think. Especially on Dribbble, for example, like there's so many people making icons there. Which is great. Like, I'm glad to see a bunch of people working on icons. The thing I'm always really sad to see are you work on an icon set and there's a lot of time and attention. It's almost like, I guess you could compare it to the world of type design, where you work on this icon set and you fine tune all the details and you make sure that all of them look cohesive with each other. And you spend time on that. And then there's these like free or really, really low priced products out there that are icon sets, but they don't necessarily have that level of quality. And it's not necessarily that I'm worried about those as competition. Like, I think the right kind of people are going to buy, they're going to know what they're looking at and buy something that's a little more premium. But the thing that makes me sad are the people that don't understand that difference and just buy this low barrier thing. And it's, in many cases, it's terrible. Like, I've downloaded a few of those or bought some like really low priced ones. And it's like, you don't get, Some of them don't even give you like the Illustrator file. It's just like PNGs or just...
That's terrible.
Yeah, or they're not at all... Even the PNGs that they give you aren't pixel precise, so they already look blurry from the get-go. Like,
wow.
And some people just don't like realize that when they go into this. And so I think the devaluing of icons, like the perception that icons are not quite so valuable, is the only thing that really kind of it doesn't discourage me from being an icon designer whatsoever, but but it's definitely one of those things that you kind of see and you wish that things would change there and that people would spend a little more time on the craft and make it better. But
yeah, yeah. No, definitely. No, I think that leads me to another question. That's like a perfect segue, everything you just said, into this question. So if you're trying to create an or like a icon pack, or even a one icon, could you give us some advice on how to prep delivery of icons to a client? You know, if you're working in Illustrator, say, for example, what are the best ways to save it? What are the best ways to deliver icons to a project or a client?
Well, honestly, I'm going to go a little bit different route than you might be expecting.
but
that totally works.
the best piece of advice I can possibly give is... And again, I'm doing the whole goals thing, so forgive me. But
that's great, yeah.
But go back to those client goals and write a case study. Like, write about what you accomplished with your icon set. Like, that is the number one best way to deliver a final project to a client. And you can see some examples of this at kyleadams.me/work. There's some example case studies there. And that's actually what I deliver to the client. Starts off as a private page on my site that they log in and they can see and read through. And it has pictures and some writing about the project and what the project did for them and how it achieved certain goals that they wanted to achieve. And it tells the story that they want to hear, right? You know, as a designer, it's great that you export things in the proper formats and that you package the source files with it and all of those things. But what the client really wants is for them to be successful on the other end, right? Like for them to know that this is going to do for their organization what they need it to do. And whether we really like that or not, they're typically very much not interested in the design aspect. Like, especially the clients that are really invested in seriously growing a business, they're hiring you to take care of those things. And the thing that they're very much interested in is how exactly do these achieve the goals? And if they achieve them, it really doesn't matter. I mean, obviously if you're just like terrible, it's going to matter to them, but you know, it's less of an issue. Like, do I really like these, and more of an issue of, how do these actually achieve what we wanted you to achieve? And I see a lot of people getting discouraged there. And that's why I mentioned that as probably my best advice, because you take all this time and you package them up and you get them ready in some really nice presentation and you send them to the client. And then I see a lot of designers getting frustrated with, well, they wrote back and didn't really like what I delivered to them or whatever. Well, it's because you didn't explain what they were, and it was all left up to their subjective thoughts about how it looks. You know, it's not speaking at all to their goals, and they don't understand how you've gone through this process. So the only thing left for them is to look at them and decide, do I think these look right or not, which is not their area of expertise. So, like when you deliver to a client, take the time to write a case study. They're not super hard to write because you've gone through this whole process.
Yeah, those are a great set of points there. And it kind of goes back to, as a designer, but especially as an icon designer, your main goal is to communicate, and that has to be in every single facet of what you're doing every day.
Well, I think one of the main mistakes a lot of younger designers do is not walk their clients through the journey that they're taking on with a particular project. You know, they kind of do just, you know, it's not just icon design, right? You see it everywhere where they'll just send, you know, a PNG or a JPEG, like, here's what I made, take it or leave it. And, you know, they don't really, you know, they're not able to talk about it. Do you kind of see that a lot with some of the younger designers you've talked to before?
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest with you, it's not necessarily exclusive to young designers. Like, you know, there's people in their 40s even that want to start a business, and they get into it and they start client projects. And I've seen this over and over. They do exactly what you just said. And then they get really frustrated because, you know, especially in those cases, because they have like, you know, 30 years of experience or something. And suddenly they're like, well, they didn't like it. Well, it's because you didn't explain anything. You didn't walk through this process. You didn't go through a story and actually tell them, like, and they don't see all of these, in many cases, like, especially with my process, I'm very much of the one concept approach. Like, we talk about your goals, we establish your goals, we go over your goals until you're like, yeah, that's definitely what I wanted. Please, like, stop reminding me of that. Right. So once that's done, it's like, here's all their goals. Here's exactly what they need. That's their place. Like, they own that business. Right. And they know what that business needs. Like, they understand where they need to go in the future. I'm a designer. I'm an icon designer. I understand how these icons can help them. And that's where my expertise is at. So I'll take it from there and start creating these concepts for myself, like go over and iterate these things over and over. So especially for my process, like when I get to the end and I deliver something, there's no way I can't describe this, because otherwise I'm just throwing something. I just basically said, like, okay, I'll go take that. And then I go throw something at them, and they don't see these like iterations I went through, or this process of thinking about the icons and intentionally making these. And once they see that story, it's perfectly, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, it, yeah. It really tells a story. And we see that a lot, even on, you know, like TV shows where they redo someone's house and the person told them, like, we want this, this, and this. And they weren't at all involved in some of the design choices, right? But at the end, they're like, oh, this is perfect. And they explain to them, like, we did this because we know it's going to help you with your kids. Or, like, we also included this because we know it's going to do whatever. And they're very happy with that because they understand how it actually achieves the goals they wanted. So, yeah, I mean, I do see a lot of younger designers do that. But it is definitely industry-wide, there's definitely people that get into working with clients. Anyone who starts working with clients typically has that frustration. And I mean, I've had that in the past. I think we all go through it at some point where you work with someone and you're kind of like, I mean, I personally, I've never bought into the whole client bashing thing. Like, I see that as very unprofessional to just talk about your client.
Yeah, I feel bad about that meme I posted on Facebook that one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, but you know what? I felt bad because I think you bring up a good point where there's too much of that going on. I totally agree with you. I'm sorry I interrupted you there, but it made me think of that meme, and it made me really think about, like, yeah, I mean, there's all these, you know, little, like, client bashing stories out there. But I'm sure, you know, there's definitely two sides of the story, right? I'm sure we're causing a lot of problems too, you know, as designers.
Well, yeah. I mean, if someone, I don't know, the way I typically try to approach it is take on the responsibility of being the person that leads them through the process. And in a lot of cases, if there's a client that, well, number one, like, okay, for example, let's say this is the biggest one I see most of the time. Is somebody will send, like, let's say three versions of something. And they know as the designer, like, I know this one's going to work best for them. But for whatever reason, they think, oh, I have to send these other two to make sure they're fine, you know, to make sure I've got these things covered. And inevitably, 90% of the time, because the client's being subjective and not seeing your process and you asserting, like, this is really, you're not even recommending this is your best design choice, they'll go with something maybe you don't like, and that's where I see a lot of people complaining, right? Well, I mean, that doesn't mean you have to change anything, but understand that the responsibility is then on the designer, because you decided to give them three choices, right? And you have to live with the outcome of that. Like, that is part of your process that you've decided to implement, and that's fine, but realize the repercussions are they might choose something you don't want them to, or they might go down a path you don't want them to. Like, if there's not clear communication in the beginning, like, man, I go really in depth on this because I have a like, and it's worded very plain English and it's not super confusing and we walk through it together and all these things, but I have a very well laid out contract that goes over a lot of things because I don't want there to be these weird barriers in communication. You know, I've experienced this in the past. I'm not saying it's exclusive to everyone but me or something. I mean, we've all had these struggles and we've all learned from them. But the thing to take away from this is that you should learn from them, and you should make things to compensate that in the future. Like, if you start working with a client and they start sending you a bunch of images saying, this is what I want it to look like, and this is how I want it to feel, and you know, all these things, like, they're doing that because you haven't established any roles up front. You haven't said, you know, like, I'm going to take on the design part. Please don't worry about that. Like, let's just talk about your company and its goals. And, you know, the look and feel stuff, like, that's a lot of what I work on, right? Like, that's kind of my area, and please don't worry about that. And most of the time, like, they don't even want to go out and do those things, as weird as it sounds. Like, they're not trying to assert themselves in your position. They just think, like, man, I don't know if they have a good grasp on what we're looking for. So I'm going to go find these things on Google and copy them and paste them in an email and send them. And it's because you haven't established these roles and said, hey, look, like, these are the things we need to talk about. Please don't worry about the other stuff. I'm going to take that on. And instantly the whole relationship is different, right? Because now they know I can just talk about my business and what we do, and we're going to be walking through this together. You know, because a lot of the time, like, a lot of clients you might work with are working for someone else, right? Like, some examples, there's been some clients I've worked with that they are kind of like the liaison for the business. So they're the one emailing me, they're the point of contact, and they have to report to somebody else. And to be able to report to someone else, they have to look like they've had some significant exchange with you to report back, right? So if they've just come to you and they've said, we need 10 icons for this thing and we want them to be funny and whimsical, and you say, okay, I'll go work on that, then they're left with like nothing to do, which looks terrible for them,
right?
And they're going to send you things, like, they're going to like kind of sit there and go, well, I should definitely look like I'm putting a good foot forward, so I'm going to send them some stuff of what this should look like, you know? And so they start, you know, sending that kind of communication and asking you where things are at. And there's no like clear communication of, this is when the project deadline is going to be, here's what happens if you change the project, all these things. Like, there's no established roles up front, and it can get very, very, very confusing and very like aggravating for both parties, honestly. Like, typically we don't see clients bashing designers, but I'm definitely sure they could, because they get taken down these paths and they're really confused on what's happening. So I went off on a really big tangent there, but
no, we honestly are happy when our guests give us some tangents, because it gives us a lot to think about. And we learn from it for sure. And I think the overarching point of everything you just said is communication. Communication is just so important, you know, not obviously in the surface level of what we're creating, but also how we are interacting with our clients on a daily basis and beyond, you know. So I completely agree. The more transparent and communicative you are, you know, usually the better the process will be for both you and your client. So yeah, I mean, I think there's just so much food for thought there, but unfortunately we're kind of running up on time here, for the show today. So Kyle, can you go ahead and let all of our listeners know where we could find you on the internet and social media? And because I think a lot of designers out there would love to learn some of the things you're talking about and how they can approach icon design.
Yeah, so you can find pretty much everything I do at kyleadams.me. There's like all the blog posts I mentioned earlier, all the case studies I mentioned earlier, all those things are there. Also on Twitter at It's Kyle Adams. It's kind of weird, but it's ITS Kyle Adams. mostly because I can't get Kyle Adams a lot of the time.
Right. I know you struggle.
Yeah. So, find me there. Also, we mentioned it earlier, but youtube.com/Kyle Adams Design is where I'm sharing a lot of those process videos, and I've had a lot of good feedback about those. So, definitely check those out.
You have been such a great guest today. You have so much information and resources, and it's so awesome that you're trying to help other people, other designers get to where they want to be, become, you know, better designers in general and icon designers as well. And you're bringing so much light to the subjects. I think maybe not a lot of people fully understand what goes into designing really good icons.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's it's been great to talk with you guys. I kind of feel like, is it really over?
Yeah, you know, we it felt like there's so much more we can talk about. So we would love to have you back sometime if you're interested, for sure, because I feel like we just kind of scratched the surface ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
Awesome. Well, yeah, well then we'll have you back soon. And until next time, definitely thank you so much for talking to us today.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks so much, Kyle. We hope you have a really good rest of your weekend.
You too.
All right, Kyle.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much, Kyle, for chatting with us today about icon design, process in general when you're approaching design, and iconography, and you know, just really a lot about the process. That's kind of one of the big things I took out from today's show. How we should communicate with clients and how we should, communication is the best or the most important part of what we do, right? And I think Kyle reminded us of that today.
And Kyle is such a great resource, guys. He has so much stuff out there for you guys to take advantage of. You can watch his YouTube videos, you can read his blog, you could subscribe to his newsletter, and he does talks periodically, so definitely keep an eye out for those things.
Oh yeah, those resources are valuable. We'll definitely put those in the show notes. Check out his website for sure. Like I said, you know, when I was talking to him, I feel fairly comfortable in Illustrator, but I've learned things just by checking out some of his videos. So check out his work. Follow some of his resources, and that's it for today. Thank you guys so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.
You can find Creative Honey on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you can also find us on our personal sites as well. So you can find me at mariabuyukos.com, and you can find Zach.
I work for a studio called Active Color, where we focus on digital and branding solutions. You can find us there at activecolor.com. You can find some samples of my work at zrhill.com. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Dribbble at Zachary R. Hill.
And for more awesome content, you can be sure to check out our blog at creativehoney.org. And give us a shout out. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to give us a review. Thank you for everyone who has already given us some nice reviews. We really appreciate that. And if you want to check out more of our episodes, you can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Thanks so much, guys. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, guys.